Good morning and or good afternoon now, and thank you for coming. The learning objective of my presentation is to describe the Centers of Excellence model that is being applied in the Dominican Republic and demonstrate impact in reducing maternal and neonatal mortality. This experience, I have no relationships to disclose, and I would start saying that this experience was developed under the or through the USAID-funded Maternal and Child Centers of Excellence project that started in February 2009 and it's ending in February 2014. And we were working with the Ministry of Health, and the prime contractor is at Associates, the company I work with. So a little background for those who are not familiar with the Dominican Republic. It's the second largest island in the Caribbean. It's actually shared by two countries, Haiti and the Dominican Republic. It has a population of 10 million inhabitants, and which are in a country that has about 19,000 square miles. So, as many projects, we always start with a problem. I mean, with what is the problem we want to solve? In this case, I mean, what's the development challenge we have to face? And this was a very peculiar one, because normally we have some consistent problems. In this case, we had a paradox. And this was a term coined by Sue Ellen Miller in a study made in 2001 when she described the Dominican paradox, having a very large proportion of women delivering in hospitals. Actually, 98% of women were delivering in hospitals, and the remaining 2% on their way to the hospital, and having a relatively high in maternal mortality ratio and a neonatal mortality. So this was kind of this was the problem we have to solve. How we solve this paradox? How we try to approach or address this paradox? This study was done in 2001, and USAID, who was the one who commended this, asked for this study, of course, tried to disseminate and talk with the government and implement some new interventions. And the government in 2005 issued a new policy. They call it zero tolerance to preventable death, and with three main policy directions. The first one was to implement a surveillance system, maternal and neonatal or children or infant surveillance system. The second was mandatory medical audits for all maternal and neonatal deaths. And the third one was community oversight. So, unfortunately, nothing changed. The only policy that was implemented was the first one. They established a surveillance system for actually a very good one and easy to do relatively because 98% of women were delivering in hospitals. So when we started the project in 2009, the situation we found was very similar to the one that Sue Ellen Miller found in 2001. It was there, so we have to respond to this. Our proposal was the following, and this is the story I'm going to tell you today. So we decided to focus in 10 hospitals, 10 of the 152 hospitals that the country have. And out of these hospitals, the idea was to select these hospitals in a very technical and strategic way. And the rationale was to create a cohort of positive deviants that will share lessons learned and best practices in other hospitals. We wanted to address the issue of motivation and ownership. If we go back to the main causes of this paradox, The second one had to do very much about with providers. The first one about quality of care. The third one about human relationships, how to humanize the service. And the fourth one was about support, management support systems. So with the first one, what we wanted to create is this cohort of positive deviants. Second, to enhance intrinsic motivation and ownership. Third, integrate health systems strengthening and MCH quality improvement. This is the so-called diagonal approach, and to make it happen at the local level. Fourth, and probably that's one of the most important ones, to implement a quality certification system. And this quality certification system was to measure progress towards becoming a center of excellence. And the last one was about community, how to involve communities so we can strengthen oversight and accountability. So in summary, this is what we call the centers of excellence approach. And you will ask me, okay, and what is excellence for you? Excellence is not technology. Excellence is not like an MRI in each hospital. We define excellence as follows: to do the ordinary things in an extraordinary manner. So to do what is written in the norms and procedures and just make it happen. So the first step was to make a competitive selection of these 10 hospitals and align with the and socialize the vision and identify who's going to be our change agents to begin with. So once we finalize this phase, and probably the most important one is the first one. This was the hospital selection process. We used 5 criteria, and we organized these 5 criteria in 3 filters. We call it the first filter, second, third. The first was about geographic balance, because we wanted to have these 10 hospitals not in one single place, but spread in the country. Second was epidemiological impact. And with this, applying these 2 criteria, we reduced from 152 hospitals to 27. And then we called the directors of these 27 hospitals. We communicated the vision, and when I say we, means the Ministry of Health and the project. We communicated our vision, and we asked them, do you want to become a center of excellence? Are you willing to take this challenge? So if you want to do that, you have to apply. We are not going to handpick you. You have to apply. And when we invited them and we provided a template and a short period of time to develop a proposal, to our surprise, all 27 submitted their proposals on time. Second filter, we assess the proposals and when we identify leveraging opportunities. Because part of the proposal was, okay, what type of resources you can mobilize to make this to upgrade your hospital as a center of excellence. So with this second filter, we selected 15, and then the final evaluation was conducted with the Ministry of Health when we asked the committee that was selecting these hospitals. We asked the Ministry of Health where you want to invest your money. Which one of these 15 hospitals, we need to select 10, and they made the final selection. And furthermore, they issue a decree, an MOH decree, prioritizing the project and mobilizing resources towards these hospitals. This is the distribution of the 10 hospitals. Only one in the capital city, number one, and then all the rest outside of the capital city, and 23% of births are occurring in these 10 hospitals. And this is something that we will see later on. It has implications in the strategy of creating the change we wanted to do. Once we selected these 10 hospitals and we have their commitment and they were legitimate in the sense that they applied, they were not handpicked. So we implemented our, let's say, two-step strategy. The first one was the induction phase. And our client, USA, was a little bit nervous because they said, Carlos, what are you doing? What your team is doing? I mean, you're supposed to start training people on MCH, on clinical staff, and you are, doing things that you normally don't do in a long period of time. It took us about 4 months to implement this induction phase. We invested in establishing and developing teams. We did a team building and development protocol. We follow a team building and development protocol, and we provided them something that we believe made the difference: change management training. We taught those teams how change happens, what are the phases, how we can move it from let it happen to help it happen and to make it happen. And that's how we call them. We call in Spanish equipos de gestión del cambio, change management teams in each of these hospitals, and we put them on a process of that used the common assessment framework, which is a tool for quality management, and then they did a self-assessment and improvement plan, and they went through classic, I would say, strategic planning and work planning exercise. This was the induction phase, and I would say till that moment, we didn't save any single life. We were just preparing the ground for the next one. So in this phase, what we did was build change management capacity, develop these change management teams, nurture and strategic thinking, not just plans, but work with them to have this type of thinking. We managed to work together on shaping their attitude and language, making them talk in a different language. For instance, we agree that we're not going to use if I become a center of excellence, if when I become a center of excellence. And also acknowledge celebration and change. In other words, we were kind of working together to move away from their default future and to shift to a declaration of a new future. Implementation phase, I would say, is very classic. I'm not going to. This is what most projects will do all over the world. Probably the only difference is that in the first wave of interventions, we focus on cross-cutting interventions. We started with a customer service system, improving the patient registration, and the slogan we use is, okay, how can we take care of the health of people if we cannot take care of their own paperwork? Would you ever go to a bank that misplaced your file? No. So we need to fix that one. So this was kind of the first wave. And then we have a second wave, addressing some systemic issues, human resources, supply management, all the classic interventions. The main difference that we were working on a prepared land, the prepared teams that were really willing to move forward. In parallel, we worked on the health management information system and in the implementation, design and implementation of the Center of Excellence certification system. At the end, we have a phase that included dissemination of lessons learned, replication of best practices that are happening as we speak, and to address the issues of sustainability and institutionalization. So what were the keys to boosting motivation? Nurturing this sense of self-direction of employees, We were told that, okay, they are expecting that others will give them direction. It's not true. They can do it. They prove it that it's possible to engage them in a quality improvement process. And we found that maximizing purpose, convincing them that women and newborns' lives are worth saving, and creating a healthy competition and a commitment to quality, it's something that works. The certification system, just in a nutshell, it's composed of 8 clusters, 18 standards, and 90 sub-criteria. And we have a scoring system, 1,000 points based, and it's a system that was built around the Deming cycle. No? And with all of this, I think the objective was to foster intrinsic motivation and ownership, and because we didn't have the resources to do the extrinsic motivation, and this is something that maybe in the future. So, talk about the certification system. It's composed by 2 elements, a plaque and a plaque, which is a static element that you earn once you reach a certain number of points. And then attached to this plaque, there are some dynamic elements. There are stars that you can earn one by one, up to 5 stars. And when you reach 5 stars, it means that you reach close to 1,000 or 1,000 points, and you have 0 preventable death in 1 year. Results indicators. I mean, we were told that in this business we are judged by our results, and efforts don't count much. So these are the evolution of some tracer indicators in the 10 interventional hospitals. Just want to point to one, the active management of the third stage of labor increased from 32 to 96%. And if you look at the last one, on medical audits, at the beginning when we started, they were not doing these medical audits, and now we have 95% of those maternal deaths. So we are learning from those deaths, but not just from the deaths, but also learning from those who survived. I mean, part of our intervention, it's also a near-miss analysis, and that can be implemented. Impact. Talk about impact. Very few times in our professional lives we have the chance to flavor impact within the life of a project. This is one exception. The number of maternal deaths between 2010 and 11 reduced by 16% nationwide. And these are very reliable statistics because 98% of women are delivering in hospitals. So in the 10 hospitals, it was 49%. We basically cut by half. But because we were attending or seeing 23% of the live births in the country, it has an impact in nationwide. And most importantly, we were able to sustain this reduction of maternal deaths after this initial reduction. So, and if we talk about neonatal deaths. We don't have information about neonatal because the surveillance system doesn't discriminate between infant and neonatal. But most of them, 81% of infant deaths in hospitals are neonatal. And the figures are the following. Nationwide, from 2010 to 2012, 20% of reduction. And in the intervention hospitals, 42.1%. I would say that this is kind of a natural experiment that happened, and in the sense that we were able to compare what can we do if we work with teams and we develop and nurture them and implement a change management approach. So the keys for improving these outcomes: partnership with counterparts and communities, close monitoring of key indicators. I think this is a very, very, very important thing. Leveraging resources as an indicator of commitment. It was tough love. It was not just, okay, we will give you things. action research so they can realize their potential. Main lessons learned, I think this selection process was very important. The development of change management skills, diagonal approach, the certification system that boosted intrinsic motivation, integration, and behavior change, and the center of excellence approach produced tangible health outcomes. This is the epilogue. In April 2013, the Ministry of Health adopted the Centers of Excellence approach as an official government tool. On August 27, they issued the first officially issued the first Center of Excellence certifications, and we have the Minister of Health on the left and the Deputy Mission Director of USA Director on the right. And furthermore, the government contracted a $9 million loan to continue this project after the project will end in February 2014. Thank you.